A while back, I guess it was maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, I don't remember, but taught a series on wisdom. And what we want to do tonight is just not review it, but just look at some things relative to wisdom. All I can tell you concerning this whole thing of wisdom, it's as though God has given me greater insight to what His wisdom is, more so than what I had back when I taught that series. It's kind of like, you know, when somebody takes your picture and they, you know, hit the button and the flash goes off, and that flash is just, I mean, lightning fast. Well, it's kind of the way it was here just, I guess, today, where God gave me this, just this flash of insight to His wisdom. And it really goes beyond anything that we can comprehend. And I can just tell you right now, the religious mind, honestly, guys, has no clue to God's wisdom. None. No clue. And I saw this in a very unique way in that, consider it like this. You take somebody who maybe they live in Africa, or they live in the Middle East. All they've known is desert. And then you give them a book written in their language. And in that book, it talks about eating ice cream. Now, they read the words, and they know the letters, but they have no idea what it means. And even though in that book there is an entire chapter devoted to explaining and defining ice cream, they'll read that whole chapter. Now listen to this. Come away from that chapter and walk over to somebody else who's eaten ice cream, and they'll be able to carry on a conversation about ice cream, but they still have no clue because they've never experienced what they've read about. And they've never experienced what they're talking about. From God's Word, we can gain information about His wisdom. But until we experience that wisdom, we have no clue. So I could literally, you, I, anybody, we could memorize the wisdom book, Proverbs. We could memorize it word for word in 10 translations. And carry on conversations about God's wisdom from that perspective, but still have no clue what that wisdom is about and what it will do for us. We just have words in God's book, but we don't have the experience of what that wisdom is. And I'm telling you right now, from what God has shown me, the more that we experience His wisdom, is the more that our lives are going to be changed. You're going to see this, I believe, very clearly by the time this message is over. In Proverbs chapter 8, just start off with the first three verses. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, and by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors." Now, the reason we read these first three verses is to establish that Proverbs chapter 8 is all about the wisdom of God. Now, jump over to verse 22. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old." Restated. The Lord owned me. I was in His possession. I was a part of His very existence. From the beginning of the beginning, back before there was a beginning, as you understand the word beginning, I've always existed. Before He ever created anything, He and I were together as one. I was set up, or I was established and existing from everlasting, before the very beginning of time, as you understand its existence, even before the earth was brought into existence. Verse 24. "When there were no depths, I was brought forth," or I was in operation. "When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth." In other words, I was, again, that I was brought forth means I was in operation. God was utilizing me before creation even began. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. That's pretty strong in that 36th verse. But now what we want to do is take a look here in Proverbs and see a few things. Now, there's so much in Proverbs about wisdom. Like I said, that entire series that I taught, like 10 or 12 sermons, I forget what it was on wisdom, goes into so much more detail than what we're going to be covering here tonight. But nevertheless, we want to see this because it's very important for us. It's talking here about wisdom. Now, look back in verse 3. Now it says, she crieth, speaking of wisdom, you know that, she crieth at the gates, at the center, or at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Okay, now leave a marker here in Proverbs and turn over to John chapter 10. There's something I want you to see here. There's a definite connection to Jesus in this. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So here he says, I am the door. And wisdom says, I'm standing at the door. I mean, I'm right there at the door. So there is a definite connection between Christ and wisdom. Let me put this another way. The only way that you're going to be able to truly access this wisdom is to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just being born again. And you're going to see this here a little bit later on. Jesus says, I am the door. And then wisdom says, oh, he's the door, but I'm there with him. I'm there at the door. I'm waiting at the door. And Jesus said, you go in, you come out, you find pasture. Now, without teaching a whole lot there in John chapter 10, verse 9, basically what he is saying is, when you come in and go out through me, meaning you live your life in that relationship with me, you're going to find pasture. Okay, now relative to a sheep, and he's talking about sheep there in John chapter 10 as an analogy, but relative to sheep, what does a pasture represent? Everything he needs, right? Everything a sheep would need. I mean, all that I need to survive, my food, okay, my diet, everything I need to sustain me is right there in that pasture. So Jesus is saying, you come in, you go out by me, and you're going to be able to obtain everything that you need to sustain you in this life. Now, what's wisdom saying? Wisdom is saying the same thing, and you're going to see this here in this chapter. Wisdom, if you look here in verse 22, it talks about the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Well, you know, think about what it says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was with God. Without him was not anything that was made. So on and so forth. So we're seeing again this connection here. And he says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And he goes on and he talks about how that when nothing existed, I was there. And I am what brought everything into existence because the Lord brought everything into existence by me. Again, leave your marker or your finger here in Proverbs chapter 8. Turn back to chapter 3. Chapter 3, look at verse 19. It says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. So very simply, what we're seeing is that the operation of divine wisdom is what brought everything into existence. Meaning, God operated by his divine wisdom to bring everything into existence. Wisdom, God's wisdom, supersedes the natural. Now, this is extremely critical to understand. Operating by God's wisdom supersedes the natural. It is not wisdom, His wisdom, is not based or controlled by anything that exists in the natural. Now, I want this to really sink in. Because when you... Now, let me give you an example, just to try to illustrate. When you're operating by God's wisdom, you're going to know how to walk on water. Because wisdom brought water into existence. If wisdom is what brought water into existence, wisdom can tell you how to work with water to accomplish a goal. You see what I'm saying? Wisdom, God's wisdom, this is what I meant before when I said how that the religious mind has no idea. Because if you are not operating in the realm of the supernatural, you're never going to access supernatural wisdom. If you're not operating in the realm of a relationship with God that is based on the spiritual things of God, you're never going to access that wisdom. And it's not going to work for you. And wisdom is not bound by anything in the natural. What that means, please get this. What that means is, I don't care what situation you're looking at in life, it doesn't matter. I don't care what problem you have. I don't care if you're $1 million in debt. Wisdom knows how to get you out. I don't care if you've got problems with your family, problems with a job. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. When you're operating by divine wisdom knows how to get you out of these problems. How many of you felt like you're going through something in life and it's never going to... Some of you may be going through this right now. You got something real bad, lousy, stinky going on in your life, and you're wondering, is it ever going to end? I'm here to tell you right now, when you operate in divine wisdom, you're going to see an end. I don't care what the problem is. You say, yeah, but I just don't you're right, you don't understand. You know why? It's because you're trying to operate with the carnal mind that is based on natural things, and God's wisdom is not based on natural things. That's why it's so hard for many Christians to figure out this whole concept of... Many times Christians, in their concept of this, what they see as operating by God's wisdom means you have insight to a situation. In other words, you know how the wires are supposed to fit together, so therefore you know how to make it work. Wisdom caused the wires to be invented. This is why you can't depend. It's like God said in His Word, trust in Me with everything in you. Don't lean to your own understanding, and I will be able to guide you and direct you into everything you need to do. You'll see this in here. That's because God will be able to impart His wisdom to help you get through this. Again, wisdom is not bound by anything in the natural. It supersedes everything in the natural. God, operating by His wisdom, was able to figure out a way for cells to be able to allow oxygen to pass in and out of their cell walls in the human body. You know, the longer that we live on this world, do you realize that science keeps finding smaller and smaller things? How many of you have ever seen the picture of the ladder, DNA, the helix, the double helix? And it looks like a corkscrewed ladder. You know what I'm talking about? So you've got the two posts that are going up, and then you've got the little, horizontal steps going, all right? That's made up of something. It's not just itself. It's made up of something. And then the stuff that makes it up is made up of something. And, that popular phrase, if the Lord tarries. Well, if the Lord tarries, they're going to keep finding smaller and smaller things. Now, here's what's interesting. Science doesn't want to acknowledge God, but science is trying to pattern God. In computers, I read about this here a while back. They're trying to create synthetic cells to act as the memory for a computer. Now, they're nowhere close to having this ready to go. But based on what they have written out on paper, if and when this is accomplished, you'll be able to have a hard drive the size of a pack of gum that will hold I don't know how many terabytes of information. Just absolutely incredible. You're talking about your computers, and there'll be no heat, basically. No heat generated because it's all operating on a cellular level. Now, this is crazy, is it not? Now, think about this. A few years ago, who would have thought of anything fiber optic? What is a fiber optic? Who knows what? Are you seeing what I'm getting at here? All right. The wisdom of God is what brought all of these, call them natural laws, into existence so that we, with our puny understanding, could figure out how to use some of this stuff. I mean, you walk on a beach. What are you walking on? Sand. Not to the computer people. You're walking on computer chips. Silicon, right? God's up in heaven, and he says, he must get a kick out of us from time to time. We think we're so smart. And he looks down, and he says, boy, oh boy, you have just scratched the surface of what you would be, what you will be able to do with all of this that I have created. But when you operate by wisdom, you not only figure out how to do these things, but at the same time, you're going to be able to operate in a realm that supersedes what we call natural law. I mean, how else can you explain speaking to a fig tree and it dying from the roots up? See what I mean? God's wisdom supersedes natural law. It also bridges a gap. The gap that it bridges is the gap between operating in the realm of the spirit and the realm of the natural. Because when you begin operating with the wisdom of God, you begin operating from a whole different way of living, a whole different perspective. And you begin understanding spiritual law more than you ever have before. You begin to understand how that you can operate in this life and live in this life completely free from any and all addictions. You don't have to be addicted to anything. You don't have to be. There are Christians addicted to fear, let alone drugs and all this other kind of stuff. You begin to learn how that you have authority in the realm of the natural. You begin to understand more about Mark chapter 11, where it talks about, you know, speak it and believe you receive it and you'll have it. Well, the religious mind doesn't understand that. But the wisdom of God says this is a spiritual principle and it works. And when you operate from a wisdom, a divine wisdom perspective, you begin to experience the divine life of that passage in your life. It becomes a reality. When you're operating in the divine wisdom of God, you begin to understand what it means to live on this planet but operate from a spiritual mindset. And realize that you don't have to sit around and figure things out. All you have to do is tap into the wisdom of God. And He'll show you how. He'll give you this guidance in the direction that you need. You know what? I hadn't thought about this until just now. Do you know what a lot of church boards are? Church councils? Man's substitute for God's wisdom. I'm going to give God the credit for that one. Because like I said, he just popped up. There it was. Think about it. If you've ever been on one, well, gentlemen, what do we do? Well, I don't know. We could do this. Well, that sounds good. All in favor? Aye. Let's do it. Oh, by the way, God, we just voted on this. Would you please add your blessing? But it bridges wisdom, divine wisdom. It bridges the gap between... Listen, Adam didn't have the problems we have until after he sinned. Because when Adam was living on this planet, everything was perfect. He was flowing in the wisdom of God in a way that, you know, our comprehension hasn't yet grabbed a hold of. Adam didn't have this problem. There was a perfect flow, a perfect bridge that existed between the realm of the natural and the realm of the spirit. But now, God is telling us in His Word, this wisdom, it is a type of bridge to help you understand that you are not citizens of this world, you're citizens of another kingdom, but with my wisdom, I can tell you how, as a citizen of my kingdom, to operate in that world. And it's kind of like what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 17, when he said, Father, I'm not of this world, they're not of this world, but we're in it. I ask you to help them while they're in it. And one of the ways that he helps us is by giving us his wisdom to operate in this world. Wisdom enlightens our understanding. Here's what I mean by that. When we begin operating more and more with His wisdom, then what happens is we begin to understand and see things from God's point of view. In the Bible it talks about your strength be renewed like the eagles. And you know, you've heard the story of eagles, how that they, when a storm comes in, they, you know, fly above the storm and they look down on the storm and so forth. So to them, it's no big deal. And if you've ever done much flying, well, really all it takes is one flight, if you experience this, you may take off in a storm, but when that plane gets to a certain height, it's all of a sudden sunny. And you may have the tendency to think, well, the storm went away. It's like, no, the storm's still there, it's just that you're above it. It's down there. It's still going on. Well, when you look at things from God's perspective, you don't just see the storm, you see the answer. You don't just see the problem, you see the solution. And you understand how the solution is going to come. You begin to understand how to operate in the solution to the problem. And I'll tell you one thing, when you operate in the wisdom of God, people are going to think you're weird. Seriously. Because you're going to have a whole different perspective on life. You know, listen, there are there are some people that don't understand. How can I say this? Yeah. This will be vague enough. There are some people that flat out would not understand why I'm still here in this church.
Well, why are you?
Because God said, this is it. So this is it. Now, let me just share. Over the years, what principles I'm sharing with you tonight about His wisdom, I've slowly but surely begun to learn how to tap into this. And operating from God's wisdom enables me to see this ministry the way He sees it, not the way the drive-by see it. Not the way the casual attender sees it. Not the way somebody who looks through natural eyes sees it. I see it differently. I don't see it the same way. That's why it's never depressing. There are challenges. Sure, there are challenges. But it's not depressing. See, one of the things I learned a long time ago was to go to God and ask for some wisdom. And we're going to talk about that asking for His wisdom part here in just a few minutes. But when you operate by His wisdom, there are people out there, Christians, who are natural-minded, who honestly, they are not going to understand wisdom-based decisions. And they will not agree with you. And this is where, a moment ago I told you, church councils substitute for the wisdom of God. This is where you take a pastor that is in a system where he is bound by that church council, whatever you want to call it, church board, church whatever, he starts operating by the wisdom of God. I'm telling you, if they aren't, the sparks are going to fly. And you are going to have problems in that church. And it won't be long before people are going to start talking about that pastor, how he's missing God. He's trying to take us in a new direction. Why, we've never done it that way before. Well, how about praying? Instead of just relying on the past that never got you anywhere, why don't you rely on what God wants to do and where God wants to take you to get you where God wants you to be? Relying on the wisdom of God is not going to make sense to the natural mind in no way, shape, or form. That's because the wisdom of God supersedes the things of the natural. The natural mind makes decisions based on the natural circumstances. The wisdom of God makes decisions on divine circumstances. And divine circumstances are not compatible with natural circumstances. Because one thing you have to understand is that natural circumstances in this world, natural circumstances are all corrupted. Genesis chapter 3. So everything we face in this world has as a foundation a type of corruption. God's divine wisdom is not corrupted in any way, shape, or form. So when you start operating from that platform, you begin to see things the way that God sees them. You begin to understand how the dead can be raised. You begin to understand that blind eyes can open. You begin to operate in a way like Jesus operated. Remember the blind fella? And he says, minister to me. And Jesus says, well, okay, what do you want? He didn't just walk up to him and say, see. He said, what do you want? When you operate in the wisdom of God, you understand how that God can do anything. Well, we know He can, but we just don't know if He will. When you're operating from the wisdom of God, you understand what He will and won't do. You don't have to play those religious games. And this kind of goes back to this whole thing of what I said earlier, that the religious mindset does not understand this concept. And quite frankly, I only understand it a smidgen. Like I said, I'm seeing it differently than what I used to. I'm seeing it more than I used to. That's a better way to put it. I'm seeing it more than I used to. And I'm telling you right now, operating by the wisdom of God, it makes no sense to Christians who say you ought to have common sense. Common to who? To God or to man? Because what is common to God is not common to man. I'll guarantee you that. Now, look in Proverbs chapter 8. We're still here. In verses 32 through 36, he begins explaining generally the benefits of operating by this wisdom, but he also gives a warning. He says here in verse 32, he says, "Now therefore, hearken, listen to me. Blessed are they that keep my ways." In other words, when I lay something out for you, when I set a path before you, when I give you a direction and you do it, you're going to be blessed. Now, guys, let's, for the moment, let's eliminate the definition of blessing to mean lots of money, okay? But let's make it an all-inclusive thing. Money is in there. So we're not restricting it. You think about this. What if you went to God and you tried to explain to Him that the best way He could bless you is to give you more money? Now think.
If I just had more money, I'd be all my problems gone.
No, they wouldn't. Because if you don't operate with divine wisdom with what money you have, more money is going to be more problems. Old Testament type and shadow, Solomon. He operated by as much wisdom as he possibly could. And Jesus said, hey, listen, there's a greater than Solomon that's come along. And yet at the level that Solomon operated, he had billions of dollars coming in silver and gold and all different kinds of substance, money. It just came in because he operated by God's wisdom. See? So it's not just money. Anyway, wisdom is going to bring blessings. And he says, blessed is the man. Now look at verse 33. Hear instruction. What instruction? Wisdom's instruction. Hear it. Do you see this word? Hear. Hear instruction. And be wise and refuse it not. Why would anybody refuse the wisdom of God? Why? Because it doesn't make any sense. If it made sense, you'd do it, right? But when God begins speaking, giving to you His wisdom, sooner or later, wisdom is going to speak something that makes no sense. And when wisdom speaks that, you're going to have a tendency. Now, let me rephrase that. There could be the temptation to refuse it. I'll tell you right now, I believe there are a lot of people that have received an instruction of wisdom from God, but it made no sense whatsoever, so they tossed it out, did not act on it. And I personally believe that because of that, there are a lot of Christians in the world, let's talk about money for a moment, that have missed out on tremendous wealth, financial wealth in their life, because they have dismissed the voice of wisdom because it didn't make sense what they were told. So they've lost out. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about this, waiting at the gates and the posts of the doors and so forth and what that represents. But what I want to point out is this. Wisdom is not forced upon you. See this? He says, blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. All right, what are we waiting for? Wisdom. We're waiting for our instructions. We're waiting for what wisdom wants us to do. And he says, you're going to be blessed if you just wait. Wait for me to speak. And he says, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. This right here, I'm not going to teach on favor tonight, but one thing I can tell you is this. When you're operating in the favor of the Lord, you're going to operate in something you've never touched before. God will go before you in a way, in a supernatural way, with His favor, and cause people to have favor for you. And your life can change. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I've done this to appropriate God's favor. And I've seen things happen in my life that I did not think that by natural explanation and definition should not have happened. But God's favor went before me because tapping into His wisdom enables His favor to operate in my life. This whole thing about waiting for Him. When you wait for His wisdom, it's going to give you the opportunity to receive that instruction, and His favor is going to go forth. In this chapter, look back over in verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. This word prudence, practical application of information that has been given. How to apply the information. I dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Meaning I can give you the plans, the methods, the ways, the how-tos, the how-not-tos, everything else. I can tell you how to do it. Now, if you're operating in that kind of wisdom, God can give you an idea for something that can cause that incredible wealth to come into your life. See, here's the thing. When you talk about money and increase in money, everybody's ears kind of tend to perk up. It's like, oh yeah, I want that. Well, He's telling you right here, for the kingdom's sake, you've got to put it in perspective here, okay? He says, look, I'm wisdom and I dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Jump over to verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now this is speaking a lot of both material and financial things. And what God is telling you right here is, boy, get a hold of this. If you turn on Christian television, they're going to tell you the way to get rich is to send money into their ministries. You better send that pledge offering now. Hallelujah. Supernatural blessing. I feel it. Ooh, I feel it. Call now. Operators are standing by. And wisdom is standing over there just shaking his head. Saying, you know what? Fool you on these offerings. I can show you how to make more money in 5 minutes than these offerings will ever get you. And by the way, these offerings ain't going to get you squat. This guy's just repeating a doctrine that I never gave to the church. Look at this. If you tap into the wisdom, listen to this. If you tap into the wisdom, it will save you money. So how do you figure that? Well, if preacher big time on television is telling you that there's a supernatural anointing for every $2,000 pledge that comes in the next 30 minutes, make those phones ring. It's going to cost you $2,000. Listen, I've heard the stories of people, the phones were busy, I couldn't get in. What am I going to do? God will extend it for 60 seconds. Call it grace. It'll save you money. Does wisdom say anything about giving me an offering? No. Wisdom says, you find me and I give you this information. No charge. I know how to access this. Wisdom will make you rich. You say, yeah, but what if I squander it? When you're operating by divine wisdom, you won't. But what if I consume it upon my own lusts? When you're operating by divine wisdom, you won't. This is why wisdom can give it to you. Because when you're operating by divine... Listen, you start operating by natural wisdom, yeah, you probably lose it. But when you're operating by divine wisdom, you're going to have everything you need and more. It will flow. This is God's word. Now, you can come up with all kinds of ideas as to what that means. But I'm just telling you, wisdom right here is saying, I can do this for you, but you've got to tap into me, and I'll work this in your life. He says here, verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now, that's pretty powerful. People that are not operating in the wisdom of God are going to have a pattern of inner turmoil in their life. Can you prove it? Well, first off, he says so right here. He says, if you sin against me, why? How could I sin against? Reject. Reject it. Refuse it. What he says in here. Refuse it not. Verse 33. Then he says, if you sinneth against me, you are wronging your own soul. In other words, wisdom is saying, you're not hurting me because I'm here the whole time. And I'm not going to take offense and run off and hide from you. I will still be here. But if you sin against me, you're wronging your own soul. Christians who are not operating in divine wisdom are going to have a pattern of inner turmoil. Let me rephrase this. Inner turmoil is indicative of a Christian not operating in divine wisdom. Now, this is borne out over in James. Turn over there to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now look closely at what is written here. This is the word of God, and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, okay, now what does that tell us? It tells us that having this wisdom is not automatic, or you wouldn't lack it. You see that? There are some people, there were some teachers, I won't give the name of the school, major Bible college, some teachers were fired because they were teaching some of the students that the moment you get born again, you immediately have all the knowledge you'll ever need. And so why are there teachers? Excuse me? And why is the Holy Spirit our teacher? See this? Makes no sense. Well, they got fired for teaching that. If wisdom were automatic, and now this is, how can I say this? If you don't do what's necessary to access it, you don't have it. Now, again, let this one sink in. If you don't do what's necessary to access it, you don't have it. I don't care how smart you are. And I don't care how much sense it makes. And I don't care how many people agree with you. If you don't do what's necessary to access divine wisdom, you don't have it. You're lacking it. So he says, if any of you lack wisdom, it's not automatic, otherwise we wouldn't lack. He says, let him ask of God. All right, what does that tell us? It tells us it's not a sovereign act. Meaning you don't just sit around and hope that God someday decides to give you some wisdom. He says, ask. If it were a sovereign act of God, you wouldn't have to do anything. It would just be given to you. You see this? He says, if you lack it, you know what you have to do, really? This is humility. Because if you don't humble yourself, you're not going to believe that you lack anything. If you don't humble yourself, if you don't humble yourself and go to God and say, I'm too stupid to figure this out on my own, I need your wisdom, you're not going to ask God for it. Well, he says, if you lack wisdom, then you have to ask God. What does that tell us? You have to go to God because God is the only source for this wisdom. There is no other source. What that means is it cannot be obtained any other way or any natural way. The only way you're going to get this wisdom is if you are there with God. That's it. You are not going to get it from a book. You're not going to get it from tapes. You're not going to get it from this sermon. You're not going to get it from watching Christian television. You're not going to get it by thinking about it. The only way this wisdom comes is from God. There is no other way. So if you're not trying to get it from God, you're not getting it. Yeah, I've heard people say things like, well, you know, they called some friends, I need to get some wisdom. Well, really what you're asking for is their input. You know what I'm saying? And I understand what people mean, and I've said that myself before. But from God's perspective, the kind of wisdom we're talking about, it comes from Him and nobody else and no other way. You have to go to Him. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Look at this next phrase. It says, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now, notice which word is in italics. The word men. You see that? Now, what does that imply? But women are left out. No, that doesn't. It says, that giveth to all men liberally. Okay, now if you don't understand the context in which this is written, you will think that God's just up there, you know, dishing out wisdom to everybody that comes along. First off, let's eliminate the word men. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally. All what? All who are asking. You see this? He's not just liberally giving it to everybody. The only people that get it are the people that go to him and are asking for it. Those are the ones who get it liberally. Well, I hope God gives me some wisdom. Have you asked? No. Guess what, Sherlock? You ain't getting it. He says, ask. He gives to all who ask liberally. Upbraideth not means he's not going to criticize you. You ever felt kind of ashamed or embarrassed to ask somebody else for something? You know what I'm talking about? You just, you know, don't want to look dumb or you don't want to embarrass them or whatever. God's in heaven saying, you know what? You will never look stupid to me coming and asking me for my wisdom. You know why? It's because we don't have it if we don't ask for it. Which means he knows he's the only one that has it. There's no way we're going to look stupid going to him and asking him for something he says he'll give to us. So he says, look, if you need this wisdom, no problem. Come to me and ask and I'll give it to you. And I'm not going to criticize you for asking. I'm not going to... Now listen, he's not going to look at you and say, you ought to know this. How could I, God? You're the one that has the wisdom. And you said I have to ask you. So he's going to say, it's about time you got here. You're asking me for this wisdom. I will give it to you liberally. I won't criticize you. I won't cut you down. And it'll be given unto you. And that word liberally means I'll give you more than you need. I'll give you more wisdom than you need for this problem, for this situation, for this decision, for what you want to do. And in verse 6, he goes on and he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's kind of walk through some of this. When you ask, you have to believe that you receive. Remember what it said over there in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, about waiting daily at his gate, or watching daily at his gates, and waiting at the post of his door? If I ask him for wisdom, and he's already said he'll give it to me, what do I need to do then? Wait. You're right. I have to wait for... If he says he'll give it to me, then there's no question as to whether or not I'll get it. I have to wait. I have to sit and wait. I don't act until I have his wisdom. If I act before I get his wisdom, then I don't believe he's going to give it to me. I don't believe there's going to be that. I do not have faith that I'm going to get from him what I need. You see this? In other words, I think I already know. I think I'm smart enough to figure this out on my own. This is one of the reasons why, over the years, some people have wondered, how come I'm not doing something fast enough? Or how come I'm not acting quick enough on things? Or why aren't you, we need to do this. Nobody's come to me and been mean about it, okay? I'm not trying to imply that. But there have been times where people have wondered, well, it kind of seems like you're dragging your feet. Well, more than dragging my feet, maybe I'm just slow to hear. I'm trying to wait on God to get his wisdom. So I know what to do and I make the right decision. Because he said he'll give it to me. Guys, I got to tell you, I made so many mistakes over the years till I finally figured out, ask. Just ask. Listen, I'm telling you right now, you can avoid a whole lot of frustration in your life if you just learn to ask for his wisdom and then wait at the door to get it. Just wait. Yeah, but what if I have to wait too long? How is that possible? If you're asking for God's wisdom, there's no way you're going to be able to, unless you can't hear. But God's never going to give you wisdom after the fact. See what I mean? He's never going to tell you to do something after the thing's already happened. He's going to give you his wisdom in a timely fashion so that you know exactly what to do and how to do it. You have to believe that you're going to receive it. Now remember, since this wisdom comes from God, that means it is spiritual in nature. It's not natural in nature. It's spiritual in nature. And it's also spiritual and impartation. What does that mean? God's wisdom is going to first be released into your spirit before it hits your mind. He doesn't go first to your mind and then hope it gets down to your spirit. God is a spirit. We are a spirit. He works with us on a spiritual level. His wisdom, His divine wisdom, is going to first be imparted to us spiritually so that it doesn't have to pass through a filter of natural reasoning in our mind. He releases it and imparts it to us on a spiritual level for it to rise up into our conscious way of thinking to know what we're doing. Your spiritual development is going to enhance your reception. And this is a key in this. People that are not pursuing an ongoing developing relationship with God and their own spiritual growth and maturity, forget it. You can ask all you want. It isn't that He won't give. You won't recognize what He's giving. And He can give you all the wisdom in the world. He can teach you how to, you know, turn a sow's ear into a silk purse. How to turn, what was that? He'll teach you how to turn straw into gold. Who was that, Rumpelstiltskin? He'll teach you how to turn straw into gold. He can. But if you don't know how to hear, and if you don't know how to receive that wisdom, He'll give it to you all day long, but you won't know what to do with it. You won't be hearing it. You'll think it's just, you know, a bad dream, or, you know, gas from dinner last night. Or you won't have a clue what's going on. You won't be able. So this is why your spiritual development enhances your reception. And this again goes back to all these things that I've taught so many times in the past about developing, doing what's necessary to grow and develop spiritually so you can understand how to operate in the wisdom of God. Remember, it is spiritual in nature. It's spiritual in foundation. It's spiritually based. Therefore, it is going to relate to us first on a spiritual level before it ever relates to us on a natural level. In other words, the reception and understanding of divine wisdom will impact us on a natural level only if we have received it on a spiritual level and understand it. Now, if you look here, he says that if this person, if you waver, if you ask in faith, or if you don't ask in faith, you're wavering. And the person that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What that means is this. Everything that seems to make sense to you, that's what you're going to do. Everything that seems logical to your mind, that's what you're going to do. Doesn't matter what it is. I've heard people say things like, well, you know, if you're seeking God's will and you believe you know what you're supposed to do and the door is open, then it must be God. Guys, that's not got news for you. Satan can open doors just like God. Think back over your life. How many doors were open for you and it sure wasn't God? And you walked right through them and had a good old time. The devil can open doors like God. Just because it's an open door doesn't mean that it's of God. Years ago I thought, you know, well, if the door is open, it must be God. Now I figured out that's not true. It might be, it might not be. I need some wisdom. Is this door yours, God? And what you're going to do is you're going to constantly be in this thing, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. Don't raise your hand, but anybody been there? You make a yes decision. Then it's like, well, no, that's the wrong. So then you make a no decision. Then you think that's wrong. So you make the yes decision again. Then you think that's wrong. Then you go back and make the no decision. And you're going back and forth. It's like watching a ping pong game. You just keep going back and forth, changing, you know, which is what he is describing here. Remember what I said earlier over there in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36, where he said, wisdom says, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And I said, a person that is not operating, or inner turmoil is a sign that a person is not operating by divine wisdom. Well, that's what he's saying here. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The unstable life is proof that a person is not operating in God's wisdom. Because God's wisdom is going to produce stability in your life. God's wisdom is not going to create chaos. God's wisdom is going to eliminate the chaos and settle things in your life. And I'll tell you what else is a part of God's wisdom. It's His peace. Because wisdom and peace, it's like they're bosom buddies. They're like Siamese twins. When you're all operating in the wisdom of God, you may be making decisions that make no natural sense whatsoever, but the peace of God is guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, because you're standing at the door to receive that wisdom, and Jesus Christ is the door. So there you are receiving His wisdom and operating in that wisdom, and there is nothing unstable in your life. And it doesn't matter what other people think about you. And you're not going to... I've been around these people. It's like, I've known some folks over the years. I actually kind of feel sorry for God. It's like He can't make up His mind. He'll tell them to go to this church for a little bit. Then He tells them to go to this church for a little bit. Then He tells them to go back over here to that church. And then they go from church number three back to church number one. Then from church number one over to church number... I mean, their whole life. God can't figure out where He wants them. Well, God told me. No, He didn't. You're unstable. Well, God said we ought to do this. And it's like, no, then we ought to do this over here. No. And I've known of pastors in churches. It's like they ride the winds of the latest fad, the wave of the next glory move. And they come out with all their cliches and all of their statements. What's the most popular book? Don't mention it. Then that's what we've got to teach. That's what's going to impact our people. What's the next great move of God? And that's what people look for. What's the next great move of God? It's like they're looking for the next great move of God. Where is it? It's right here on the inside. But you know what? One indicator. Churches that are stable may not have as much growth as other churches because they're not riding the crest of every new thing that comes along in the body of Christ. And Jesus even addressed that with some of the crowds that followed Him. You're just looking for something new, guys. You're not looking for truth. You just want another experience with power. You just want to see another act. You don't want truth. And He kind of got on them about that. Christians who have this verse 8 instability in their lives, and listen, we don't have to name names, but you guys probably know some Christians like that. They've gone from one decision to the other, back and forth. It's no wisdom. God's wisdom is not going to have you do that. Now, He may have you, if you start tapping into God's wisdom, God may say, listen, you're going to have to stop doing that and start doing this over here to get it right. But wisdom is going to bring about stability in your life. There are a lot of Christians. There's a story. This happened on a Christian television show. I didn't see it. Somebody was talking about it. Some lady was on there being interviewed, talked about how she divorced her husband. And the reason she gave, she had to go find herself. She had to go find herself. What does that mean? And I've heard Christians say things like this, I have to find myself. It's like, well, duh, you're right here talking to me. I can help you real quick with this. They're unstable. Christians that move from city to city to find God, no wisdom in that. Run from camp meeting to camp meeting, looking for the next miracle. It's not divine wisdom. Divine wisdom is going to pull on your reins and say, stop. Sit down and let's talk. The wisdom of God will never fail in any situation. I don't care what you're going through. It will never fail. Never. Never, ever, ever. Now look over in look in Proverbs chapter 2. Turn back over to Proverbs chapter 2, because somebody's going to ask, well, how in the world, you know, where do you get this wisdom? Well, we went into great detail about that in the series on operating in God's wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Okay, well, I already said that back over there in James, so praise God. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom out of His mouth. The Lord gives wisdom out of His mouth. What did it say in Proverbs chapter 8? Hear. Listen. Okay? The two ways that wisdom is going to be imparted to you, and they work in tandem, the two ways, and you need them both. You need them both. You've got to get into the Word of God, because the Word of God is revelation of the wisdom of God. You've got to get into your Bible. You cannot dismiss it. Listen, you're not going to get, when it comes to written material, there is no book ever written by man that will be able to give you the wisdom of God. It may talk about it, but unless Scripture is quoted and copied in that book, it cannot give you that wisdom. God's Word is His wisdom. God's Word is His will. God's Word is His wisdom. Therefore, the more that you get into the Word of God, is the more you're going to be able to access this wisdom as far as reading it, and let's put it like this, sowing it into your life. You know, the sower sows the word, okay? However, it says here in Proverbs that God speaks. And it says in Proverbs that we need to hear. That means there's another element to this other than just reading what's on these pages. Well, what do you think that is? You got to pray in the Spirit. As you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit, giving you the utterance, if you will, and you're praying these words out. Now, what's happening is, and this is just one of the things that's happening when you're praying in tongues, as you're praying in the Spirit, the Lord is speaking to you. Now, listen, every word that comes out of God's mouth, I don't care what it is, every word that comes out of His mouth is a word of wisdom. Now, I'm not talking a gift of the Spirit word of wisdom. It's wisdom. Every word that comes out of His mouth. So even if it is in a language that your understanding is unfruitful, it's still wisdom. And because it's conveyed on a spiritual level, your spirit is receiving the anointing of those words of wisdom. Put another way, a wisdom anointing is released in you as you pray in tongues. Now, you couple that with what you gain by reading the Word of God, and you are taking, I'll say it like this, you read, especially in the book of Proverbs, you read, and what you're doing is you are sowing wisdom building blocks into your life, into your spirit. You begin to pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is able to take the wisdom of the words of wisdom from the Bible, assemble them in a way that you need to help you understand with your mind, your conscious way of thinking, what you're supposed to do in a given situation. Sometimes it can happen like this. Other times you have to, like we say, pray it out. But God says He will give you His wisdom. So when you go to God and you say, "Oh God, I am asking You for wisdom," God's saying, "I will give you as much as I can possibly give you. I will give you liberally all the wisdom that you need. Superabundantly, I will give you all the wisdom that you need. But if your spiritual ears aren't attuned to My spiritual voice, it's going to be very hard for you to understand what it is I'm saying to you." This goes back to the spiritual training, or the training of our spirit to hear the voice of God. We get into His Word and we pray in the Spirit, and it conditions us spiritually to hear Him and to hear the voice of wisdom as wisdom speaks. Now, when you do this, all I can do at this point is tell you what will happen, but until you experience it, it'll just be a prophecy. Here's what will happen if you do this. It's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. It is a growing process, okay? Just like little kids. You ever seen little kids, that when you go into the bathroom and they come behind you, they try to open that door, but they can't really reach the doorknob. You just give them a few months, and they're going to be able to reach that doorknob, but they're not quite strong enough and haven't quite figured out about turning it. You give them a few more months, and you know what's going to happen. If you don't lock that door, they're going to be right in there with you. Okay, likewise, you have to grow spiritually. And as you do these things to grow spiritually, you are going to begin to understand the wisdom of God more than you ever have before, and you're going to understand how it is so different from natural wisdom and knowledge and understanding that comes from natural experience. The religious mind can never gain this wisdom. It can never understand this operation. This is why wisdom takes you to the place of operating by the mind of Christ. And it never fails you, ever, no matter what. So if you want to access this wisdom and experience literally a spiritual transformation, get into the Word, spend time praying in the Spirit, and this wisdom is going to grow on the inside of you, and you will operate by it daily, and it will change your life.